Disgust might be one of the most powerful emotions we feel. It's also the most misunderstood. In today's podcast, we'll explore what disgust is, how it helps us, and how it harms us. Specifically, let's address how to manage disgust if it's part of your OCD picture or part of your life, even if you don't have OCD. Welcome to the Free Me From OCD podcast. We're here to help you say yes to your life by saying no to the tyranny of OCD. Here you'll find information, tips, and tools to help put you back in the driver's seat of your life by taking your power back from OCD. I'm Dr. Vicki Rackner, your host. I call in my experience as the mother of a son diagnosed with OCD when he was in college, a physician, and a certified life coach to help you take back your life. So let's kick this off with a story about disgust. So this is a trigger alert. If you don't want to hear it, just fast forward about 20 seconds. One of my favorite scenes in the Barbie movie unfolds when Barbie confesses to her friends that her heels touched the ground. Dr. Barbie says, "Show me," then exclaims, "Flat feet!" You see the disgust of Dr. Barbie, the other Barbies, and even Ken as they start to retch. I saw that expression of disgust among a different group in real life. A group of surgeons were sharing stories after an evening of dining and drinking at a medical meeting. A surgeon told us about a patient he treated when he was volunteering on a medical mission. A patient came into the makeshift hospital with a leg injury. As the surgeon cut away the dressing, he saw something moving in the open leg wound. He looked more closely and saw the wound crawling with maggots. These seasoned male surgeons who'd seen it all said almost in unison, "Ew!" One surgeon kept his calm and said, "I bet the wound wasn't infected. Maggots keep wounds clean." You know disgust when you see it or feel it. Disgust is a feeling of revulsion or profound disapproval when you encounter something offensive or poisonous or contaminating. Disgust is the most universal emotion on the planet. You can easily recognize the expression of somebody who's disgusted, yet it's the most poorly understood emotion we have. Charles Darwin was the world's first disgustologist, a scientist who studies and writes about disgust. Darwin was curious about the role emotions play in evolution. He wrote his colleagues from all corners of the world and asked how local natives expressed disgust. He found that the expression of disgust was near universal. In his book, The Expressions of Emotion in Man and Animals, Darwin described the face of disgust. The eyes squint, the tongue sticks out, and the nose crinkles, as if to prevent toxins from getting into the body. The "ew," my surgeon colleagues express, forced air out of the lungs. Disgust presents with varying intensities from mild dislike to intense loathing. Well, why would we have disgust? Think of feelings that you have as warning lights on the car dashboard. Emotions offer us information about what's happening around us and inside of us. The most powerful emotions that grab our attention most effectively offer information about threats to our safety. When we face life and death circumstances, our bodies activate the danger response. Fear triggers the fight, flee, freeze response to get us back to safety. In fact, our very survival is predicated on our ability to escape predators. What's the biggest threat to life after predators? It's disease. While most predators pick off individuals, communicable diseases can wipe out entire tribes. Think of disgust as a feeling that helps us avoid circumstances that increase the risk of disease. Steven Pinker describes disgust as intuitive microbiology. We can feel disgust by something we perceive with our physical senses, including sight or smell or touch or sound or taste. Disgust causes us to keep our distance from expelled body fluids like feces or vomit or urine or mucus or blood that could carry diseases. The triggers that evoke disgust may be the most diverse of any human emotion, ranging from dirty bathrooms to unappetizing food to someone with poor hygiene. Have you ever noticed that cleaning products and diapers are in their own aisles in the very center of the store that are not surrounded by any food? People don't buy food next to cleaning products because it's as if the food itself would become contaminated. So disgust compels us to keep our distance from people with signs of illness or places infested by insects or rodents or rotten food. Realtors talk about the challenges of selling houses with that funny smell. Some triggers for disgust are universal, where other triggers are much more culturally and individually influenced. Next time you're in Sweden, you can visit the Museum of Disgusting Foods. I once brought durian fruit into the house. Once I cut into it, there were screams, "That's disgusting! Get that out of here!" Intimacy lowers the threshold for what we consider disgusting. In a pinch, you might be willing to share your toothbrush with your partner. However, it's unlikely you would share it with a stranger. This intimacy disgust reset helps us change our baby's diapers or care for sick loved ones. In fact, the suspension of disgust establishes intimacy and may even strengthen love and community. Disgust compels us to stay away from, block off, or eliminate something offensive, toxic, or contaminating. This helps keep people safe and healthy. We can experience a different kind of disgust that's often been called social disgust or moral disgust. We can feel disgust by another person's appearance or actions or ideas or social standing. You may have disgust as you hear about pedophiles or clergy who perpetrate scams on senior parishioners or police officers who choke suspects in their custody. Some call social or moral disgust ways of preventing contamination of the soul. Now, we can understand social disgust from an evolutionary standpoint. In the Paleolithic era, our survival was tied to our ability to collaborate with others when we hunted. We depended on others. In order to live together, we had to define as a group what was and what was not allowed. Disgust helps you identify behaviors that are unacceptable, and those behaviors bring the threat of expulsion. Everybody may have disgust reactions to a morally tainted person. But the thing that's considered morally tainted may vary across cultures. There's an ongoing debate within the scientific community as to whether certain forms of social disgust, like being disgusted by another person's appearance, actions, ideas, or social standing, are learned and culture-specific, or whether they exist in some form across all cultures. Now, let's talk about OCD and disgust. In a sense, people with OCD are safety-driven beings. OCD themes reflect different ways of describing how the world is unsafe. So people with OCD may be more sensitive to danger. They may respond to potential danger more robustly. A neuropsychologist did an experiment. He swished a pencil around the inside of a toilet, then touched one pencil to another, then touched it to another and another, to a maximum of 12 pencils. People without OCD said that the sixth pencil was no longer contaminated. People with OCD said that there weren't enough pencils in the world to make them clean. When he repeated the experiment with a pencil touching candy, there were no contamination concerns. Just as a reminder of how OCD works, a circumstance can trigger an obsessive thought that's deeply disturbing. This obsession creates intense feelings. Then the person performs compulsions to get relief from this unwanted feeling. So the feelings associated with cycles of obsessions and compulsions are usually fear and anxiety. However, disgust can be another feeling. And let me show you how. Over half of people with OCD wrestle with contamination themes. They see contamination differently than someone without OCD. Did you have the 10-second rule with your children? If a dropped food is on the floor for less than 10 seconds, it's safe to eat. Not so with someone with OCD. When we think about people with contamination themes, we know that they can respond with fear or anxiety. They think, if I touch the toilet, I'm going to get sick and die. However, other people with the same theme can respond with disgust. They think, I'll never feel clean enough and will obsess about this forever. So OCD compulsions can serve to either avoid harm or to avoid disgust. But people with OCD themes beyond contamination can experience disgust too. For people with symmetry and ordering themes, feelings of disgust may be associated with perceived messiness or disorganization. Think of how you feel when you watch the TV show Hoarders. Individuals with sexual obsessions may experience disgust in response to unwanted sexual thoughts or images. Now, part of this could be contaminated. After all, sex involves the exchange of body fluids. Somebody who has sex increases the risk of sexually transmitted disease. In fact, one-third of people with untreated OCD are either virgins or haven't had sex in many years. However, other people with sexual OCD talk about their disgust. They judge their sexual thoughts as immoral or wrong. Now, disgust appears to be a predictor of religious obsessions. So, how is disgust-related OCD treated? The evidence-based gold standard for treatment for OCD is called exposure and response prevention, or ERP. You help the brain learn that neither the anxiety nor the trigger for the anxiety are dangerous, and you do this through repeated exposure. You don't try to treat the anxiety, you just witness that the anxiety goes away. Now, you can certainly take disgust to your therapist for ERP. However, if you've tried, you might find that you don't get the same great results that you see with anxiety or fear. You might find that it takes many more exposures and the results unfold much more slowly. One study reported that about half of all comers with disgust don't respond, drop out, or refuse ERP intervention. About 75% of patients who do complete treatment exhibit residual symptoms. Just as a reminder, I'm not a therapist. I do not treat people with OCD. Instead, my goal is to help you understand how your human brain works and point you to strategies that will help you manage your brain more effectively. So let's take a look at the brain. It appears that a different part of the brain is involved with disgust than anxiety and fear. Disgust is processed in the insula, the part of the brain involved with long-term memory. So that's why disgust neural circuits are so much slower to change. Well, how then do you manage disgust, whether or not you have OCD? Here are a few steps. First, recognize that disgust is a normal human emotion. Disgust is there to serve us, to keep us safe from physical or social or moral contamination. Disgust also has the potential to harm us. It can keep us from doing the things that we want to do. So I can give you an example from my own personal experience, and I do not have OCD. I have a very specific trigger for my own disgust. I get disgusted by the sight of blood being withdrawn from my body or the bodies of people I love. I can watch strangers get their blood drawn. In fact, I once worked at a blood bank. So just to be clear, I don't have a phobia around needles. I don't have worries about the temporary discomfort of a blood draw. I have a very specific sensation in my body at the sight of blood leaving my body. When I see it, I have an urge to pull the needle out of my arm and run. When I needed multiple vials of blood drawn, I would often say to the nurse, "Are you done yet?" Well, I decided to become a doctor after I had a life-threatening emergency. I was bleeding internally. When I told a friend that I was thinking about going to medical school, she said, "But what about that blood thing?" So was I going to let this blood draw thing get in the way of applying to medical school? I certainly could have. No one would have even known. But I decided that my desire to become a doctor was stronger than my fear of disgust. I trusted that I could find a way of dealing with the disgust. Feeling disgusted was something I could learn to manage, and I did. So that didn't mean the disgust would go away. After all of these years being exposed to blood as a surgeon, I can still feel queasy when my own blood is drawn. But it's not going to stop me. So if you feel disgust, you too have a choice. You can decide whether disgust has control over you or you have control over it. So here are some specific steps, and you can sign up below to get a worksheet that will help you think about your own answers to some questions. So, what does disgust feel like to you? Where do you feel disgust in your body? How do you know that you're having disgust and not fear or anxiety? What triggers your disgust? Can you offer some specific circumstances, like my disgust with the trigger of seeing blood come out of my body? What actions do you take when you're disgusted? What actions do you take to avoid being disgusted? And does that limit your life? So here are some strategies you can use to tolerate disgust and move forward. The first is stop beating yourself up if you have disgust. You're not a bad person because you feel disgusted. Have your own back. And if you could just do that, if you could just have more compassion for yourself when you feel disgust, that would make a huge difference. Now, when you notice these sensations in your body, name it. You can say, "I'm having a sensation of disgust." And then interpret, tell yourself a story. "Oh, my body's just trying to protect me from dying of contamination. It doesn't understand that I'm completely safe." Then reassure yourself that you can, in fact, live through disgust. You can remind yourself, "I can live with any feeling for 45 seconds. Disgust won't kill me." And in fact, you know, if somebody held a gun to your kid's head and said, "You know, be willing to feel this feeling," or your child is dead, of course you'd be able to live through any feeling. Next, prepare yourself. So let's say that your trigger for disgust is being in the presence of somebody who's sick or dying. Your grandmother is in hospice and you want to go and say goodbye. You also know that if you go, you might throw up. You will certainly want to run from the room, but your desire to say goodbye is stronger than your disgust, and you've made a commitment to going. You can prepare ahead of time. Maybe there are things that you can coach yourself through. So let's say you're in front of your grandmother and you feel disgust and you want to throw up. Well, if you want to throw up, that's okay. You can live through throwing up. You can live through the thought that you are going to throw up. It's just a thought. You can say, "If I want to run out of the room, it's okay. It's just a thought. Even if I do leave the room early, that's okay too." So disgust doesn't need to control or ruin your life. When you feel disgust, think about Barbie's flat feet. In her reinvented life, Barbie's flat feet were not a problem. In fact, they weren't even an issue. With some thought and work, you can get there too. So let me leave you with a final thought. Many families touched by OCD feel alone in their struggles. If you found this information helpful, please feel welcome to share it with friends and families and communities in which you participate. Please leave a review of the podcast. That makes it easier for people who need this message to find it. Let's get the message out there that people with struggling with OCD are not alone. There is hope. Thank you again for your investment in your family and yourself. You've got this.